Okay, so perhaps not the most entertaining of all possible games last night at Scotiabank Arena. Good afternoon. Welcome to Hockey Central. America alongside Anthony Stewart and Brian Burke. Bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager and executive VP of the Winnipeg Jets. They'll face off against the Ottawa Senators later on tonight and play them again on Saturday. Burke, Stewie, good afternoon. Always good to be with you guys. And that one, I mean, I don't know how to polish this one. It's probably an impossible game to shine. You guys have all seen games like this before. You've probably been involved in some as well. Brian, I want to start at your end. Did it seem as if, and Sheldon Keefe after the game last night, 3-1 loss, Oilers beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. It almost seemed as if the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing as if they didn't want to get embarrassed like the last time these two teams played, going back to January the 6th, where Connor McDavid had a highlight for the ages against Morgan Rielly. Keefe mentioned this in his post-game press conference as well. Did it look like, Bricky, one team was playing scared, two teams were playing scared, or both teams were just tired? How did you see the game last night?
Well, first off, when I ran the Leafs, we played 8 preseason games. And so a player would get 4. So this is really, they're just finishing their preseason. They had a 6-day training camp. So as we predicted on the show, we'd see some sloppy hockey, we'd see some dull games, and we'd see some real high-scoring games. And we've seen all of that across the league. So to me, I thought Auston Matthews' comments were that they played to stop those two guys, not afraid to be embarrassed as much as to stop those two guys, which they did by and large. But they got away from their game, and I think that's probably true. But you're talking, I think it was 5 games and 8 nights for 2 of the teams that played last night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a compressed schedule, no training camp, no preseason games. You can't be surprised by the odd clunker. Overall, the games have been exciting, sloppy but exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we'd had the second game in primetime last night.
Oh, I want to get to that because Vancouver-Montreal was a complete 180 from what we saw in the early game. But Stewie, your thoughts, analysis, observations, were you able to stay awake? Thoughts on the Maple Leafs game last night?
That's hockey, and as long as it's not it's maybe not be that entertaining, but I have an appreciation for the fact that a team can now adjust and change their styles. Did you see that neutral zone yesterday? There was nowhere for Toronto to go. They could not get on the attack. So for Edmonton Oilers, they really, really needed a win last night. So they did whatever it took. So they shrunk the zones, and it takes 2 to tango. You know, we saw the Roy Jones fight versus Mike Tyson. We thought Tyson was going to knock him out. But if Roy Jones is tying him up every chance he gets, that's the fight, right? So the fight goes, you know, the Edmonton Oilers sort of dictated the way the fight was going to go last night. And Toronto has to find a way to adjust. But they also have to find a way to win these 2-1, 3-2 games. That's part of an evolution of a team. Watch the Islanders, Berkey. We did that during the playoffs last year. The Islanders played this style to a T. And you got to find a way to work around it.
Maybe the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight is a good analogy as well. We all thought this was going to be fireworks when these two guys finally got in the ring. And outside of a couple of exchanges, there really wasn't anything there in the fight. And we all looked back and said, can we just have Hagler and Hearns one more time? If you're the Edmonton Oilers, we're going to get on the Maple Leaf side of things here, Berkey, in a couple of seconds. But if you're the Oilers, to Stewie's point, you know, clogging up the neutral zone, we saw them, you know, collapsing around Mikko Koskinen consistently yesterday. It does not seem as if it is a fun game for someone like Connor McDavid to play, or Leon Draisaitl for that matter, or any of the high flyers on the Edmonton Oilers. Is this how Edmonton has to play to get a win?
Well, I think right now, when you're in a slump, you talk about it as a team. When you're in a slump, and Stewie knows this, there's certain basic rules you follow to get out of a slump. It's like in baseball. They tell a hitter who's slumping, just hit the ball back through the middle. Don't worry about placement. Don't worry about anything else. Just hit the ball right back at the pitcher. Start making contact with your bat, and then we'll worry about placement and spraying the ball.
Yeah.
Same thing. When you're in a slump, rule number one is, okay, we can't get outworked. We can't lose because we get outworked, and they were not outworked last night. Rule number 2 is dumb it down. Get pucks out, get pucks deep, clog up the middle. dumb it down. We're not going to play the most scintillating style of hockey, but we're going to play effective hockey, and we're going to keep the goals against and scoring chances down. That's what all teams do to get out of a slump. And so they did that. I think they want to get back to their identity, which is high-octane offense in the top two lines, and I think they will get back to that again. This would have been their last preseason game, or one of their last ones. So for most of the players, six-day training camp. What did we expect? So to me, I think they had to play that way, but they're not. That's not a recipe for them to be successful long-term.
Let's not forget now they have to do this to protect their goaltender too, and Mikko Koskinen, who got lit up for 15 goals the previous four games. So they have to insulate and protect their goaltender, because he's going to be in the crease for the foreseeable future with Mike Smith out. So they got to protect him and not have him get lit up, lose his confidence, because if this went on another 5, 7, 8 games, they could fall right out of this thing early on in the season.
Yeah. This is the Oilers' first road trip. That was actually the Oilers' first road game going back to last March, when you consider the bubble and kicking off the season playing at home. Oilers now three games left on this road trip. Here's one of the things, and every now and then you'll have to take sort of the greater picture. And maybe it's unfair to do for one specific game, but here I go. Last night's game, Berkey, was broadcast on NBC. So there are two Canadian teams on U.S. television primetime. And you know how these things work. Generally, you want to get the two largest U.S. markets involved in these games to get the biggest audience. But this one is obviously positioned as two of the best young players, if not the best young players in the game today, Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews. I know the coaches probably don't think this way at all about who's watching and growing the game and putting a nice shine on the product, but does it matter at all that this game wasn't just a national game on Sportsnet, but this was a national game on NBC as well?
Well, if anyone from NBC had called me and said, we're thinking of showcasing that game, I would have said, it's early enough in the season, you might see something that's not quite a work of art yet. So I view it as a squandered opportunity where we could have showcased some, real high-octane hockey like these teams normally play,
right,
and generate some interest south of the border and generate some interest in the boardroom at NBC. But if they'd called me, I would have said, don't count on a high-flying game, not that early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a squandered opportunity, but there were some positives in the game. Like I said after the game on TV last night, I don't burn that film if I'm Sheldon Keefe. There were some good things. Justin Hall was really good. McKayev was really good. I mean, there were some positive things. The PK was really good. The one power play goal that the Oilers scored was a broken play to Draisaitl. So to me, there were lots of positives in that game. I don't burn that film.
To your point about Justin Hall as well, that play at the end of the second period where Connor McDavid, as he's trying to take him wide, Hall gets around, gets some angle, leans on him, gets his stick in there. I mean, how many times have we seen McDavid just flat out burn defensemen wide like that, and Hall was able to hold him off, and Connor still actually got a decent chance out of it, but he didn't burn him by any stretch of the imagination. From the Maple Leafs end, Maple Leafs point of view from last night, Stewie, did you take away anything specific from that game? And we're going to get to Joe Thornton and his injury here in a couple of moments.
Well, no, they're capable of playing that way. And I know they like to get into the running gun style, but we're talking now taking the next step in their development and competing for a Stanley Cup. You got to learn to be in these games and thrive. And I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, you play that game, you might come out with a win. You know, they were playing a pretty tight game in the first period, and they got an unlucky bounce to go down 1-0. They're down 2-1. Spezza has a chance to tie that game. So again, if they played a little bit more attention to details on the power play, they could have easily won that game, I believe, 3-1. But let's not forget here, we're not in the art business, right? This doesn't have to be pretty. It's all about the W's and the L's. And Jeff, I know what you were alluding to when you were saying about the quality and the executives. You think they're all Joe McGrath and they're coming down saying they want to see the Chiefs, not this, not
with
this.
Contracts in their hands. They came to see the Chiefs, Stewie. Joe McGrath reference on the show. Okay, so Jordan Thornton leaves the game yesterday, gets hit by Josh Archibald, and you see him on the bench, and he's holding his ribs, and it doesn't sound good. He's going to be out, quote, for a while. Berkey, what happens now? You know, what are the dominoes next? How does this fall?
Well, it's unfortunate because it was a clean hit and a harmless-looking hit. And it looked like a rib injury to me, and he's going to miss some time. And it's a shame when any quality player misses time due to injury. And he's a presence in their room, which they will not lose because he'll be around rehabbing the injury. But you got to look at this as an opportunity. So whether who comes in, you know, it would probably be Robertson if he were healthy. But so who comes in? Engvall? So it's an opportunity for someone to come in, get some ice time, and show that he belongs. So this is the beauty of the taxi squad this year. And to me, I think losing the key for me would be if Joe Thornton weren't able to be around the guys because he's such a positive influence. That would be one thing. But this won't affect that part of what he brings to the Leafs. Yeah. And it'll be a chance for someone else to slide in.
So the first question then, you know, Joe's out for a while now. Who goes into that spot? It's a natural, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Well, Zach Hyman goes back into that position. But then what happens to that third line checking / shutdown line, Stewie?
Well, this is and I think part of the reason why they lost last night is that, you know, they started the game off with 11-7. They had to go down to 10-7. And I'll die on this hill. You can't have four or five forwards playing, you know, over 20 minutes a night. That's as reserved to your star guys. And what happens now is when you got guys interchanging on that fourth line, you don't really get to build that chemistry. Because I was mentioning before, as a fourth line, you know, I played with 11 forwards before, and we used to have a guy come down and we try to talk to him about something, and he'd be like, well, dude, I'm going back under the top six right after this, so don't tell me anything. I'm just here to get a couple extra shifts in and bide my time here. So I'm a big proponent of having 12 forwards. I think they need to bring in Pierre Engvall. I think he could be a staple on that fourth line playing with Simmons and Spezza. But why not give Babanov a shot in the top nine? Give him an opportunity. He's going to come over here across the pond. You know, he's living the great Russian life over there to come and be in and out of the press box and do all that. You now opened up this pipeline to Russia. You got to give these guys an opportunity. So you got to give Babanov an opportunity. You got to give Letnin more than 8 minutes a night. So these guys didn't come over here, and that's going to create a problem down the line long term if you're trying to get guys over here. But you got to have guys playing 10, 12, 14 minutes, especially as a defenseman. You can't have four or five guys playing 22, 23, 24 minutes and another four or five in the bottom half of your lineup playing 6, 7, and 8. It doesn't work like that. The math doesn't add up.
Okay, so here you go. Joey Anderson has been added to the practice group today for the Toronto.
Free Pierre. And that's another thing, too. Did they not sign him? And that's another thing, too. Well, you know what? They're thinking he got a little complacent here and there. Well, you guys signed him to a 2-year extension midway through the season. If you weren't sure what type of player you had, why would you sign him right away? So for him now to be signed and then out of favor within a short period of time, I don't get that from a managerial standpoint as well. So Pierre, again, he has to work on his game, yeah, but he's big, he's fast, he's strong. I think he deserves an opportunity as well.
Berkey, Joey Anderson added to the team today, to the practice group.
Joey Anderson is a real smart player. His skating has been the knock on him since his draft year. When he played, I believe he played at Duluth, and that question mark was his skating. But his hockey sense is highly developed. Positional play strong, effort strong. We'll see. I'm with Stewie. I was racking my brain about this last year when we were covering the Lightning in the finals, and they dressed 7D. Mm-hmm. We only ever dressed 7D when we were unsure about one of their ability to finish the game. So you got a guy with a bad wheel. He says, I want to go. We're not sure he's going to finish the game, so we'll dress 7. We never did it as a tactic. And then Coop did it, and I asked him about it. And he said, no, we think we can manage the minutes. But someone ends up getting short ice time on the night. And the guys that might develop quicker and have a better game get short shifted. So I don't like 7D as a rule, but I think I would give Engvall a chance. I don't mind if they look at the Anderson kid either. Like, give him a shot.
He was the player they got for Andreas Johnsson. I want to back up to something you said a second ago, Berkey, and that's about having Joe Thornton around the team even as he rehabs. We know there are some teams that want to keep injured players away from the healthy group. Some teams have no problem having those players around. Did you have a rule on that, or did it vary depending on who the person was and what the situation was?
Well, long-term injuries, if a guy's going to be out a long time, we kept him away from the team. He did his rehab before the players got in there. He could be changing and saying goodbye to him. But those guys get down, right? Yeah. Those guys are out for, the guy's out for 3 months. He's not going to be a cheerful guy walking around with the cast on. I mean, it's just, so we kept the long-term guys away from the current team. But if a guy was on a short-term injury, I told the trainers, I don't care if he's around, especially Joe. Yeah. Like, Joe Thornton brings sunshine wherever he goes. Like, and I talk about this a lot, and I know people get tired of it, but when you have a – talked about it with Jack McElargy last night, the late, great Jack McElargy. One of the great benefits of having Jack McElargy on our staff was that he never had a bad day. So we'd be – you know, we were playing Edmonton when they were loaded up, and we'd lose 9-2 at home. And he'd come in the next morning, hey, how's it going? Let's go. Let's get that coffee going. We'll get these guys tomorrow. Like, always positive. And it's, you know, Tamu was like that. Those guys have great value. So having Joe around, I think, would be a benefit. It doesn't sound like a long-term injury. He said sometime, which I think Sheldon, you know, they're not going to be candid about injuries. But I think if it was going to be a long time, he would have said that. Sometime to me means, you know, two to four weeks. Then let him stick around.
We should mention as well, no Austin Matthews at the skate today. Listen, he's played a lot of hockey over the last little while. So no Joe Thornton, no Austin Matthews. This is going to be like when you, we've talked about this before, Stewie, when you look at how many games these teams are playing and it's a minimum three a week and sometimes it's four a week. And, you know, I don't know what the most amount of games you've ever played in a month is, but these guys are gonna hit some personal records here. No surprise that they give Austin Matthews a day off.
Yep, and it's continuing my theory of it's not load management, it's called prod management, where they're going to be giving guys some practices off. And as I mentioned before, the grind isn't the games. The games is the easy part. It's the practices and getting up and coming in and having to go through your routine of stretching, going hot tub, cold tub, heat pack, coffee, video. You got to listen to these speeches, and that's the grind of the National Hockey League. So for him now to get that day off, he's earned it. He's played a lot of hockey the last 2 weeks, but let's make no he's going to be ready to go next game. And Pierre Engvall, by the way, is fourth line center, whatever that means for today's practice, by the way.
Yeah. What's your T-shirt say, Stewie?
Free Pierre.
Bricky, how would you handle this team right now?
Well, load management is, we've been doing that in the NHL for 30 years. We just gave guys days off on practice days. Mm-hmm. The NBA took it a different level to giving guys games off. And that never made sense to me when you're charging what you charge for tickets. So Austin Matthews, day off, perfect. Maintenance day. And truly, sometimes you got to give a guy a day off and say, don't even come in here. You can't come in tomorrow. Get a mental rest too. Because a lot of guys, a day off means 45 minutes on the bike. They don't have to escape, but they get on the bike anyhow.
Who did you have to keep away from the rink like that? Like, who did you have to, like, physically, like, don't let him in the rink?
Well, one of the great – I used to say I wanted North American players for my bottom six and bottom pair because those kids were the guys that would block shots and all. And what changed my thinking on that was Sammy Paulson. And Sammy Paulson was so banged up the year we won the Cup, he couldn't practice on the days between games in the conference finals or the finals. He had to take – all he could do was play games. And he was in such pain when he played, and he played like a warrior. That changed my thinking on that. But he's won. Scott Niedermeyer's won. Scott Niedermeyer, you tell him to take a day off, you'd have to argue with him. And a lot of times, Chris Pronger was the same way. A lot of times, Randy would have to go to them halfway through practice and say, okay, go off. Because they wanted to practice. They wanted to be with their teammates. So had a lot of more guys like that. NHL players are special because they will lie through their teeth to play. They will lie to the doctor. They will lie to the coach because they want to play. They're amazing. But sometimes you've got to say it. I remember watching Chris Pronger argue with Randy Carlyle. Randy said, get off. You've done enough for today. And Chris Pronger was arguing with him. He said, get off. I'm not asking you. Get off the ice. So sometimes, and that truly means a day away from the rink, like Stewie said, the grind and the treatment and the meetings and the video. And you say to Austin Matthews, you got tomorrow off and it's a day off. If you come to practice, I'm going to fine you.
What do we, Stewie, these two teams run it back again tomorrow. Oilers and the Maple Leafs. Both, you know, Austin Matthews saying, like, you know, we can't play like that. We've got to play We've got to play our own style. We can't get away from it. Sheldon Keefe, you know, nothing happened out there. What do we expect on Friday? Because going into yesterday, last night, like, we're positioning this game like it is going to be fireworks. Elliott's taken the over on this one all day long. Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Dreisaitl and McDavid and, woo, man, like, there's going to be, like, just red lights going off all night and boom.
On a scale from Edmonton Toronto game one to Montreal Vancouver, it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's going to be a shutout, goals every other shifts, and going into the buzzer beater where Gallagher almost scores. So I see it opening up a bit. We saw the game open up a bit, I think, with the last 9 minutes where there's some more opportunities. But when you can't go into a shootout with the gunslingers of the West, the Edmonton Oilers, they got Connor McDavid, they got Dreisaitl, and I saw a couple times too where they're a little bit too casual on their breakouts and coming up ice, knowing that it's McDavid and Dreisaitl. They could have easily potted another 2, 3, 4 goals as that game opened up. So I think they still got to pay attention to those details, but just capitalize a little bit more. We saw Spezza with the open net. We saw a couple power play opportunities where they didn't really get it together. So they got to find a way now just to pay a little bit more attention to those details and capitalize. That's it. That's the difference. But that's hockey. Some days you got it, some days you don't. But I don't mind games like that at all. They just got to find a way to win those games.
Yeah, and Jeff, let me jump in. Like, sure. Stewie said, you're a boxer. You have to adapt to the guy you're boxing. It's the same in every sport. Remember playing high school football. We played a team, and the coach said, look, they're going to run the ball till they can't run the ball anymore. So what do? We tighten up the box. The linebackers got in tighter. We brought the defensive backs down a little bit lower. We played against the run and forced them to throw the ball at some point. So you have to adapt to your opponent. So sometimes if you're getting forechecked to death, you got to stretch the breakout. Sometimes you got to dump the puck in. I know the Leafs are a puck possession team, but when you get in the neutral zone and there's 9 bodies in there and they're all contesting the puck, sometimes you just have to dump it in and go to work. You have to adapt to the game that presents itself. I think it'll be a much better game.
One final thing, if you want to raise your blood pressure, Brian, do you have a thought on the penalties from last night?
Oh, look.
Here we go.
I mean, the call, I see why the referee bit on the call on Jake Muzzin.
Yeah.
Okay, it was not a penalty. And Jake shouldn't have been penalized. That was a costly one, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm not just talking about that game. I'm talking about all the games. There's too many soft calls right now. Like, some of these, is that worth 2 minutes? And I said it on TV last night, and I'll say it again. I hope what this is the league trying to set a standard early, which they've done in prior seasons. They say, call it tight to start, and then we'll loosen up as we go. I hope that's what's happening. Because I'm not just talking about the Leafs. I'm seeing penalties that I don't think are worthy of a 2-minute penalty all across the league.
Speaking of penalties, 3 power play goals last night for the Vancouver Canucks. They go 3-for-6. They win in a shootout 6-3, but getting there. And first of all, what a entertaining game that was. But we had just seen 2 players specifically knock the Vancouver Canucks around, and they were both ex-Canucks, and that's Markstrom and Tanev. And then last night, we thought Tyler Toffoli would be the third to stick it to them after he scores a hat trick, but Vancouver pulls it out 6-5 in a game that I really hope the majority of people who watched that Maple Leaf game got a chance to stay up and watch as well. What did you take away from Vancouver-Montreal last night, Berkey?
Well, I love the fact that neither team would go away.
Yeah.
They responded. Every time the other team scored, the other team would come right back and score. It was amazing to watch. What I was impressed with, there was a lot of hitting in that game. My one objection in the Leaf game is it was a quiet game body contact-wise, which I can't stand. You know, that's flag football for me. Mm-hmm. And so what I liked about the Vancouver game was there was a ton of hitting in there and a ton of offense. And so that to me was – I enjoyed watching the hitting as much as I enjoyed watching the goals. So that was a physical contest. Neither team would concede the lead. I don't think the Canucks didn't lead – or the Montreal didn't lead in that game until – to Foley's third goal, right? It was like 5 minutes to go. And then Vancouver comes back and ties it. So to me, you and I worked that game, Jeff. We had to stay there late. But we didn't seem to mind.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a game. Stu, did you enjoy that one? That was a nice cleansing of the palate for those that watched.
And what I like about that for Vancouver is that they've collapsed in a lot of those losses that they had in the three in a row that they've lost to Calgary and Edmonton, where they have a little bit of a lapse and they're down two goals just like that. So whenever Montreal scored, they responded, they answered the bell. But it's good to see guys like Brock Besser starting to step up, Bo Horvat scoring some big goals, and them finally finding a way going through the adversity to get the win. So it's entertaining. I'm going to be interested to see the next game. I'm definitely tuning in that and taking my notes down, because that's hockey. That's what everyone's expecting this early on in the season.
That was great. To Berkey's point, Vancouver gained and lost the lead four different times, and that one was a really exciting matchup. We'll step away. Kevin Sheffield, day off, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, joins us in a couple of moments. We'll get on the Jets page. They'll face off tonight against the Ottawa Senators as Scotia North Division action continues in the NHL. Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We're back in a moment. Welcome back to the program here Monday to Friday, starting at noon. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart and Brian Burke. Tonight, the Winnipeg Jets face off against the Ottawa Senators, being joined now by the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff. Kevin, thanks so much for doing this today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure is ours, and we were just talking before you came on about a number of things, and one of them being rest. And in a schedule like this, and your team's playing four games this week, and yesterday we saw the Maple Leafs and the Oilers, two teams that, really did look tired out there for the lion's share of the game. What are the Jets doing? What are you guys doing to make sure you guys stay as fresh as possible, knowing that fatigue is going to be a factor at many points this season?
Yeah, it's a delicate balance right now because, you're still relatively early in the season and you did not play any exhibition games. So you're still trying to find your game in a lot of areas, systematically, skill-wise, all those kind of things are something that, everyone is taking into account. But certainly rest is a primary thing. We play five games in seven nights here this stretch, and the last of our games, the fifth game, is a back-to-back with the opponent sitting there waiting for us, and they're fresh. So it's an interesting dynamic. Everyone's going to have to go through it at different points in time. The stretch, even that we actually are on here right now, it's nine games in 15 days. So now again, some of them are going to be in the same city, which does help on the wear and tear. But we still did play in Toronto the other night and got to Ottawa here to play a fresh Sens team. We landed there, got to the hotel roughly at 1:30. So fatigue is something that players and staffs are going to have to continue to work on throughout the year.
Is there any update on the injury status of Patrick Laine?
No, he's not. He's not in tonight. When we get back to Winnipeg, we'll be able to have our doctors kind of take a little better look at what's going on there that's keeping him off. And again, that's a little bit of the tough part of dealing with things during COVID times here right now. You try to stay in as much in your bubble type of thing, maybe on the road you would have done some different things in the past. Now you're relegated to trying to do some things at home instead.
Berkey.
Hey, Chevy, it's Berkey. Thanks for doing this, man.
My pleasure.
So talk to us about your young defenseman, Ville Heinola. Kid's special, isn't he?
Yeah, he came in and opened some eyes last year in training camp. Obviously, there was no expectations for him to start the season, but he found his way into that lineup. And ultimately, we felt he needed some more time to grow and get stronger. And as an 18-year-old, we sent him back to Finland to play there. And I think he really benefited in some regards here of starting the season over in Finland as well. And he's been playing the first half there. And he had a wonderful World Junior. He's a real smart player. Can move the puck. Is learning. The game is kind of a sponge when it comes to picking up things that go on around him in the game, and he's going to get a chance here tonight, and we're looking for some great things from him.
You know, sticking with Winnipeg Jets defensemen, and in the game on Monday against the Maple Leafs, and I think this might even stretch back to when Pionk was a Ranger, but Pionk and Mitch Marner really had something going pretty much all game long. Just want to get your thoughts on Pionk in that game, and also, I mean, you guys really came out looking real smart, keying in on this guy as part of that transaction. Your thoughts on Pionk on Monday with Marner, and thoughts on Neil Pionk, the defenseman for the Jets right now?
Yeah, so I think Neil is a player that plays the game very, very honest, and he plays it from whistle to whistle. He's not one of those guys that lets up at any point in time, but he's also not one of those guys that tries to stir anything up after the whistle goes. So he's kind of a throwback guy. He can throw a hip check. He can he can step up in a play. He likes to move the puck. He's got good vision. He may not be the biggest guy, on the ice, but he's the first guy to go to any corner to get a puck. So we've been just thrilled with his play over the course of obviously last year in this very young season so far.
Kyle Connor is off to a hot start with 3 goals in 3 games. He just seems to score 30 goals everywhere he goes. Do you think the secret's not out on him yet? Because I'm seeing a lot of his goals that he's scoring. He's getting open looks. So what do you think makes him an elite goal scorer in the National Hockey League?
Well, I think he finds the quiet areas, and he moves so well. Like he's obviously got great speed, but he moves well laterally, and he's kind of stealth in a lot of different ways, and so he gets himself open, to get pucks, and he finds pucks, and he's not afraid to go and poke a puck in front of the net either. So it's not just a shot; it's he'll go to the dirty areas and make some things happen there, but he'll also go to the quiet areas and he's got a great release and a great shot. So, he's done this, throughout his entire career, obviously in college, stepping into college his first year, he was very good. And, he's found his way here, but kudos to him though. He came through the American League, he played in the American League and learned a lot of the nuances of the game, how to play on the boards, how to, do things that you need to do to be a solid and complete pro. And he accepted that and he did that. And he earned his way up to the National Hockey League and is earning everything he gets.
So a lot of people don't know this about the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm not going to ask you to kiss your boss's rear end on the show, but it's typical. The Manitoba Moose are taking in some players from another team in the NHL. Mark Chipman, yourself, everyone looks at the Winnipeg Jets as a great partner. How have you guys come by that label?
Well, I think that it's it is a testament to ownership, and Mark, Mark's kind of reputation as a person who is a kind of a deal maker or a builder, goes way back even to when the American Hockey League and the International Hockey League joined forces. Mark was one of the driving forces there, to help unify minor league hockey, in that regard. And he's earned his way through a lot of these different things. But I think the thing that he would be most proud of, and our organization is most proud of, is the community work that is done. The foundation that has been developed, throughout the 10 years that we've been in Winnipeg is just, it's helped so many, different people. And the Hockey Academy that has just grown by leaps and bounds in Winnipeg has helped underprivileged kids for many years. And Project 11, the mental awareness and mental health program that, again, the foundation started. Zinger and Mark Chipman were the driving forces behind that. So while Mark will put all his efforts into doing whatever he can to help build this hockey team to be a winner, his efforts off the ice are the ones that really I think the community should be proud of.
Yeah, I'm always interested in hearing general managers talk about skill sets of certain players. And I want to circle back to Patrick Laine, because there was one moment this season where I just had to come away from the moment shaking my head saying, I really can't believe that I just saw that. And it's Patrick Laine on a breakaway against the Calgary Flames. And I think the release was either right at the top of the circle or maybe just a foot or two inside of it on a pretty much clean, uncontested breakaway. And I don't know how many players in the NHL would have that type of confidence in their shot to fire it from there with accuracy and put it away like it was nothing. Is there something that you've seen Line A do as well that we might miss, that a general manager says, wow, that's what separates this guy from everyone else? Because for me, no one shoots better, harder, more accurate from distance than Line A. What about you?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously the shot is something that everyone, you know, knows about. Goalies know about it, but yet he finds a way to, you know, to place it and place it well, and it gets off his stick, you know, so fast. But I think, you know, the underrated side of what he does is, you know, the pass that he made on the power play through the seam in that same game. So, you know, he does have a unique ability to shoot the puck, but I think his playmaking game is there as well. And you know, again, he's been in the league for a while, so there's no real secrets about what he does. But you know, what has happened is he's matured, you know, physically, as all young players do, from, you know, joining the league at 18 to where he's at now at 22. Again, it's a process that only can take time, and that's for some players, they're able to step in and do that at that age, and others, you know, take time to grow into their bodies, and but that's what makes the players that could do it, like Patrick, special.
How have the new guys up front looked in Trevor Lewis, Nate Thompson, and Stastny in his round two go-around with the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, I don't know if I've actually even met Lewis and Thompson here yet. I've got a mask on. They've all got masks on. No one knows who each other are in a lot of cases. So I think, but they're good. They're good people, and they, you know, fit in well. And you know, Trevor came into camp on a PTO and you know, fit right in, you know, on the right side. And you know, Nate is finding his way into our organization's leadership group, you know, as what he's kind of accomplished as a veteran player over the years. And Stas, you know, Stas is Stas. Like, it was like he never left for us. You know, again, he is a special person, you know, on the ice and off the ice as well. But, you know, it is interesting. In these times where you're trying to get together but still be 6 feet apart, it's there are some challenges when it comes to team building and bonding.
Berkey?
Well, you're not going gray nearly as fast as I did, Chevy, so I attribute some of that to the fact that you get to watch Connor Hellebuyck play a lot.
Yeah, that's it helps you for a few less sleepless nights, and certainly it's a pleasure to have him on our team, and you know, just to see his drive and determination, you know, again, come in year over year. And he's checked off the boxes at all the different levels that he's played, you know, in college with the Richter Award in the American League, where, you know, he got the requisite starts that he needed to get some pro under his belt. And then, you know, he went through some ups and downs in when he first, you know, turned pro in the National Hockey League. And a lot of people, you know, obviously, in hockey craze Canada here, we're questioning, you know, what's he going to be? But he's found a way to understand his body and understand what he needs to do to be an elite goaltender, and he's driven.
Kevin, I want to finish up on one thing. I'm not going to ask you to comment specifically on the Washington Capitals situation, but it has been the story around the NHL, this cap situation going back to last night. And I do wonder, is there anything other than the obvious protocols that we're all aware of and what you're doing with your Winnipeg Jets? Is there anything else that, as a general manager, you can make sure that all the protocols are being adhered to and everybody stays safe on your team?
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar with the total situation, you know, in Washington, but I do know, you know, there's obviously a comprehensive set of protocols that have to be followed, and you know, it's something that you know, we're all, you know, trying to be mindful of, and you know, sometimes you catch yourself closer than 6 feet than when you should be, but I think the most important thing is to continue wearing masks, and you know, it's something that we're all going to have to kind of watch each other on and continue to, you know, to work towards complying as best as you can.
Certainly. Listen, best of luck tonight against the Ottawa Senators. You have them again in a couple of days as well. And best of luck the rest of the way. We'll check in a little bit later on this season. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Thanks very much for having me on, guys.
There is. Kevin Cheveldayoff is the general manager and executive VP of the Winnipeg Jets. They play the Ottawa Senators tonight. Quick on the Capitals situation. Team fined $100,000 for not adhering to COVID protocols. Four players for the Washington Capitals, Ovechkin, Orlov, Kuznetsov, Samsonov, all placed on the COVID absence list of the Washington Capitals. Craig Anderson has been called up. As a GM, Berkey, is there anything, I'll ask you the same question, is there anything above and beyond that you can do other than what's already been laid out by the NHL?
Well, first off, Elliot said this morning, and I think there's some merit to it. This is a very severe fine. In any other year, $100,000 might not seem like a lot of money, but it's a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
And it's a strong statement by the league. And I think and what Elliot said is it's not just a strong statement to the Capitals and to, you know, to the players involved. It's a statement to the health authorities all around the league, because everything the league is doing is being evaluated by health professionals in every province and every state where there are NHL teams. So I think it's a statement across the continent, basically saying we are going to live by these protocols and we're going to enforce them strictly. Mm-hmm. So four guys meeting for a beer after a game or on a night off, maybe they run at a UFC fight, whatever. It may not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal in this environment. Yeah. So I think that the league made a strong statement. They could have fined the players, but the maximum is 10 grand. So you fine four millionaires, 10 grand apiece. I think it's a much stronger statement to fine the team.
Excellent point. We'll hit a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more. I wouldn't mind actually getting more into that Vancouver-Montreal game and those two teams and what's evolved with those squads. More Hockey Central in moments. By the way, Leafs and Oilers run it back tomorrow. So we'll get back on the Maple Leafs page on Hockey Central tomorrow afternoon. Hockey Central continues. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Okay, we're giving you the chance to meet Joe Thornton virtually. Tune in every weekday for keywords and text him to 590-590 to enter. The more keywords you collect, the better your odds are to win a spot in the video chat with Joe. Your next keyword is net. Text net. Maybe it should be rib. Text net to 590-590 right now to enter. Hear your next keyword at 420 during Writer's Block. For details on how to meet Jumbo Joe, visit sportsnet.ca/590. Welcome back to the program. Jeff Merrick, Anthony Stewart, and Brian Burke. One quick note. It seems as if Austin Matthews was on the ice briefly and then left today. So it wasn't as if he was given the entire day off, conversation with Manny Malhotra, and then left the ice rather quickly. So we'll stay tuned to find out what that is all about. Meantime, wanted to park a little bit more time, guys, to talk about last night's Vancouver-Montreal game, which really was a dandy and quite a thirst quencher for those of you who may have had your tongues still hanging out after watching the Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. Great game. Tyler Toffoli hat trick. Big win for Vancouver. Three power play goals, 3-for-6. And we talked about some of the big name players, Berkey and Stewie, in that game last night. But, you know, Brian, we'll start with you. I'm always curious to see how someone does in their first NHL game. And Jalen Chatfield is someone who played with the Windsor Spitfires, won the Memorial Cup. Rocky Thompson was coaching. Chatfield was part of a Windsor Blue Line that included Mikhail Sergachev, Logan Stanley, Sean Day. Really was an impressive group back there. Gabe Vilardi was a star up front. Did you used to ever talk to rookies like on their before their first game? Any messages to them, or did you just leave them alone?
No, I used to try to talk to them. Just the number one message, and he's been called up before and sent back down. So he's an American League veteran.
Yep.
Just say, hey, kid, it's going to be a little quicker tonight than you're used to. That's the main difference between the AHL and the NHL is it's more structured and it's quicker. And so I'd say to him, look, the puck's going to move a little quicker than you're used to. Move it right away. Keep it simple. And I thought he looked fine.
Yeah, I thought he looked good too. Stewie, Elias Pettersson is a story every game, and lately it hasn't been for the better, but for the worse. Probably a little bit better for Elias Pettersson yesterday, although I'm guessing at the beginning of the season, if I told you that Vancouver was going to have a game where they won 6-5, but Pettersson wasn't going to get a single point, you would have laughed me out of the room. But, Stewie, there we were.
Yeah, I think he's going through the tracking puck goal scoring withdrawal as well. But this is part of the evolution now, where he's had a pretty easy time in the National Hockey League too. So it takes time where you got to learn how to come out of a slump and learn what to do. So maybe he's got to change the tape color on his stick. Maybe he's got to start shooting. For me, when I was in a slump, I said, you know what, I'm going to try to get 8 shots a game, and I just put the puck on as many times as I can. So I think he's got to dumb it down a bit, start hitting the net. I'm noticing on that power play, he's got the big one-timer. It's hitting the glass more than anybody, I think, in that flank position. But he's too good of a player for this to last much longer. But again, they need that. They need him. They need him because it's a competitive division this year, and they need him scoring his 30 goals and putting up his close to point a game. So he's a bit behind right now, but he's too good of a player for this to last that much longer.
I agree completely with that. I think he'll snap out of it. I think JT Miller coming back in will help him snap out of it too.
Nick Suzuki on the Montreal end of things. Every game, there's a whole lot there to talk about when it comes to Nick Suzuki. Was, wonderful for 3 periods, plus the overtime, and a real nice move on the shootout as well. Berkey, your thoughts on Nick Suzuki, not just last night, but what we've seen so far from this rook?
Well, I think his coming out party was in the bubble. Like, up to that point, we weren't sure how good he was going to be, whether it was a winger or a center. We weren't sure about Kotkaniemi. And they both had really good bubble play, extremely well. And he's just getting better every night.
It's awesome to watch. You want to conclude here, Stewie, on Nick Suzuki?
Yeah, all those organizations, if you have some young guys in there and you're not sure what to do with them, throw them in there and let them figure it out. We're seeing what's happened with Suzuki and Kotkaniemi. So maybe L.A., maybe we should now worry about getting Byfield some reps. So I'll leave it at that. Let's go.
Yeah, it was Sam Pollock's great line always. Never give up on a young player until you are 100, not 99, but 100% sure. I want to thank Kevin Cheveldayoff for stopping by the program today, GM of the Winnipeg Jets. And we thank the Jets for making him available as well. We're back tomorrow for more Hockey Central. Leafs and Oilers run it back one more time tomorrow. Smith and Jones next on 590.